L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by shipping cheap parts around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. Skip the tariff and snag yourself American-made clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
Hey, Michael Steele podcast listeners, Michael Steele here with another quick take from the Michael Steele podcast. Check out what's going on right now.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Michael Steele podcast. I'm Michael Steele.
How is their recovery for the president on this? Today, he's at Valley Forge. He is giving, to your point, making the case to the American people. And he's starting with the idea about democracy and noting at the same time, in the same breath as I've just watched him do on the screen, that Donald Trump has told you he wants to be a dictator on day one. Do those things align, right? How does he begin to address that narrative shortfall that he has with the American people?
So today is a good day. All right. He is out of the White House, out of Washington, in the country, at a place that deeply matters to the American civilization.
Mm-hmm.
This is an important place, right? We share this space that he's at today.
Yep.
Now, the AP wrote that he was going there. And the way they did it, right, they said he's going to a place of national trauma. This is a place where through hardship and fortitude and defiance, farmers become the American army.
I wonder what the hell they call Gettysburg.
And when the army under the command of George Washington rolls out of Valley Forge in 1778, it's a different army that came into Valley Forge. And in the revolution, not so long after it, is won. And when that revolution is won, of a young Frenchman who's in command of American troops in Yorktown, and the Marquis de Lafayette, when he sees the white flag go up, he says, humanity has its victory, liberty has its country. And he believed that this was the greatest event in human history. The idea that regular people would run the government as sovereigns, the creation of a republic that in time has come to enfranchise all of us.
We, the people.
This gives a rationale for Biden to shine a light on his weakness, right, which is his age, and to say, let me tell you something. Before I pass, before I hand it off, before my generation yields. Franklin Roosevelt talking to the Canadian Prime Minister late into the night, the world we live in that he envisioned, that he architected, that he created, he said that he hoped that it would endure in his last for as long as everybody who was alive on the day that war was won was still alive. And the youngest of those people are 78. I was 3 years old. And that world order is unraveling because of Vladimir Putin, because of Xi Jinping because of Donald Trump, because of a rise of this. And I want to connect the past to the present and open a door to the future where we bring the American dream back. And we're going to do three great things over the next 4 years on top of the three things that we have done over the last 4 years that 50 years from now, your grandchildren will thank you for saving this country.
I'm clipping this and sending it to them.
He must step into the arena. This must be confronted on each and every hour. Love beats malice. And what beats Trumpism is an articulation of better. And what is better is the American ideal. We share an identity in this country, right? We share an identity. It's an American identity. There's no identity that's unique, higher than that. And yeah. I'm going to tell you a story I heard about the Dean Phillips campaign. And this is what scares me to death about this election in the Democratic Party. So, you know, politics are rough business, right? You go from Congress, and Dean Phillips is a very talented guy. He's a very, very talented political candidate, right? Jumped in the race as a matter of conviction. People were terrified. I stepped off the line with him because I don't think people should ever be afraid of running for office, let alone president in the United States. People shouldn't be afraid to work on a campaign. And I'll just be honest, right? The intimidation inspires my defiance, right?
Yeah.
And so off we step into the line and a campaign comes together. And Dean Phillips winds up in a car with Mark Leibovich. And he writes a profile on him. And in that profile, he makes a comment about Kamala Harris's unpopularity. And she is historically unpopular. She's at Dan Quayle levels of unpopularity. And to me, that is evidence of a pretty spectacular political malpractice, malfeasance.
Yeah, I agree.
But at any rate, the way the political ball bounces, right, this somehow now is that he is being called on to apologize, right, to Kamala Harris, right, for saying that she's unpopular. Right now, this is where a campaign, right? This is now we're in the room. Like you and I have been in this room, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is like a fun. It's like now this makes me happy if I'm in a political campaign, right? Because now you get to say that the correct answer is be like, we're not gonna apologize to the vice president. But we definitely think the West Wing advisors who have wrecked her stature, her reputation, and her standing should apologize to her.
Yeah.
So-and-so should apologize for misusing her.
Yeah.
So-and-so should apologize for misusing one of the most talented candidates, right? So that's the right answer in a presidential campaign. So there's a meeting that I'm told after I had stepped out and done these first four ads in the super PAC that took place in the campaign. And there's a guy sitting at the table who's a 60 plus year old white guy who has an IQ. It's way up there.
Yeah.
And he's done 700 political campaigns.
Yeah.
And this gentleman goes, we shouldn't apologize to Kamala Harris. It's the wrong thing to do. And a woman in the room, deputy campaign manager, like a real senior person, I don't know, right, says with great indignation, well, white cisgendered men don't get a vote in this room on that one, right? And as soon as I heard that, right, you just know this is over, right? There's no
exactly
no campaign, right? So this campaign is over, right? This is like if there's like a pancreatic cancer spore, right? That was airborne, right? Like outside your house, right?
Yeah, you just open the windows.
Right? So the spore is in the house, right? It's over, right? You can't have a conversation, right? you have, right? Half the campaign then is an oppressor oppressing the other half of the group. And so off the rails it goes, right? So when you read about, right, the Democratic National Committees having sit-ins against the Biden administration, right, that you have letter writing campaigns by staff who don't understand that the elected official makes policy, all of that stuff, right, keeps me awake at least one night a week, right? I'm not panicked about it, but I don't like it,
right?
Campaign. So what I want to see, like in this month, right, I want to see President Biden kick this guy's ass, right? I want to see him go to Mother Emanuel Church.
Yep.
I want to see him roll out across the country. And here's another thing I want to see. I don't want to see an hour-long State of the Union. I want to see one of the shortest State of the Union.
Bingo.
Absolutely. In history. I want to see something that lasts for 15 minutes.
15. Tops.
Here, listen to me, White House people. Listen to me.
Yes.
Get out John Kennedy speeches. The Arabella speech in 1960, before he left and was inaugurated. The tribute to Robert Frost. The speech at Rice University to the moon. His inaugural address. These are 15-minute long speeches. Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural. You, Mr. President, you must drive a theme.
Yes.
You must talk about the country. You must talk about our commonalities, where we're going. Read FDR's 1936 Democratic National Convention address and talk about democracy like that. Lay out a vision through conviction, not poll-tested banalities.
Look, you can, if you can't, at this point, given everything that we know and everything we've gone through and damn sure about to go through, you can't tell me in 15 minutes or less what your deal is and why your deal is important and why I need to follow you, then you're going to lose an incredible opportunity and get caught up in the politics of bullshit with Republicans sitting on their hands and booing and doing whatever their asshole tells them to do, and Democrats overplaying and jumping up and looking silly, applauding for shit that they shouldn't be applauding for. And then meanwhile, the country is going to yawn because nothing for them will have changed. And I think it's important what you're saying is that Joe Biden lets them know that, yeah, we're going to change the way we do this. We're going to move the country in a direction that is not expected. It is not pro forma. It is going to be rooted in blue collar workers that I know and love. Families that are sitting at kitchen tables trying to figure out how to make
your side.
I'm on your side.
They are not on your side.
Absolutely.
Let me tell you whose else side I'm on. Ukrainian people, I'm on their side.
That's right. That's right.
Donald Trump on, he's on the side that has kidnapped 60,000 children.
That's it.
I'm on your side. And at the end of the day, right, like there's something you said earlier, right? And every time I see you, right, I always think, right, every time we do one of these, right, I always think about like what Matt Schlapp said to you.
Yeah.
And how you bitch slapped him. When I was a kid growing up in New Jersey, Hank Aaron was a hero.
Yeah.
Later on, like when I'm 17 in the 1980s, right, you're kind of like people were shouting the N-word at Hank Aaron when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And so the one thing that I was very, very sheltered about in life and as a Republican is on this question of race, and in particular, the South.
Right.
Because I am a Northerner. I'm from New Jersey. You are from Maryland.
Yeah.
Our Republican parties were not filled with religious fanatics. They weren't ideological. They weren't even conservative, right? They were the good government party.
Yeah, pragmatic. Right? Yeah.
And so as you look at these debates that take place, like over the Voting Rights Act, right? And there was this position, and I actually was naive enough to accept it with sincerity at face value, which was that this is a new South, that this is a new society. It's been remade, right? That the civil rights laws and the consent decrees and all of the things, right, that are imposed from an elections perspective, right, because of the past, because of segregation, because of the abuses. We live in a new era.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you enforcing, right, rules and laws as if it's still 1966 or 68 or 75 or 76? And I accepted that argument, right? Like, I accepted that argument. Right. And all of the evidence, right, is the person who placed the concession phone call for John McCain to Barack Obama. You have a sense of history, right? The moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice, right? You're moving towards that place, right? You're moving towards that place, right? It's inexorable, right? That the poison of race, right? That it's bleaching out. So full stop. I'm watching this documentary on Netflix, and it's about all these like 80-year-old Germans, right? Veterans of the SS, right? Hitler Youth, end of their lives, looking back on the heyday of the Third Reich. We've been conditioned, Schindler's List, the era of the mournful German,
right?
That the regretful. None of these people were regretful. Every one of them was nostalgic. Right. They don't regret what they did, the service, their time. They lost. They accept it. But they don't have bad memories. They don't necessarily, except for a few, accept the evil that was around them. So the snarling, spitting, white, deranged face shouting the N-word on the line of the black kid going to school, that spirit, that ember, it never extinguished.
Right.
And it has been brought back to life, manifestly so. And so now you stand at an era, right, where this is a really a revanchist movement, right? When you look at freedom, when you look at liberty, you're a black woman in the state of Ohio in a situation like that.
Right, yeah.
Knock on your door any moment, any day. You're a 17-year-old black boy in the culture that tells you, hey, it's okay, right?
Yeah.
In the culture, right, to do interracial dating. Well,
right.
Depends on who grandpa is, right?
You better not step your ass up in my house, right? Exactly.
Is, right?
Exactly.
And so like we're at the gateway to a terrible, terrible, terrible revanchism towards these darkest impulses in the country. But the thing to understand is the fight is perpetual, right? It's like John Lewis crossed the Edmund Pettus Bridge, but like each generation is going to have to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Our great grandchildren's generation
is
going to have to cross the Edmund Pettus Bridge. Like what this just shows is that human nature produces people who want to subjugate other people, who want to take power, who want to take control. And if there's somebody who looks like they have a pathway to do it, they will have acolytes. They will have supporters.
They will.
They will have people who get on board, right? And that's the thing the media doesn't understand about Trump, right? Some people around Trump just want to take money in, like Jared Kushner. Right. Like every time you read about the guy, he's surrounded by another six Qataris. Right.
I know. Right.
This was about business. Jared Kushner didn't give a shit about anything other than money. Stephen Miller doesn't care about money.
Right.
Miller cares about building concentration camps, filling them with Mexicans and Guatemalans and Hondurans. That's what he cares about, right? So each component, right, of that coalition, because it's nihilistic, gets to sit at the table and have some agency and regency for the things they care about. So that's why there's room for Nick Fuentes, the Nazi.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't interfere with Jared Kushner's grift. So why does Jared Kushner care about the Nazi in the coalition who enables the grift? And why does the Nazi in the coalition care about the Jew who's getting grift, who's in on the Saudi grift, right? Everybody's got a piece.
Everybody's got a piece.
And so that's what this is, and that's what has to be extinguished.
Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for listening today. Please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. Heck, give us 2 5-star reviews. I love it. Or catch us on Stitcher, iHeart, TuneIn, or wherever you get that podcast thing on. You know how that goes. Peace out.
Is it just me, or have we all lost our minds? It's a question more and more people are asking themselves, afraid to admit they already know the answer. It's also a podcast, one about people coming together in a time of division and uncertainty to talk about culture and politics, compromise and connections. It's about challenging the norms we've come to accept as a society and working together to find common ground. Fierce and Unfiltered, host Jennifer Horn is a former Republican strategist and party leader turned independent sanity activist. One way or another, we've all lost our minds. Join Jennifer Horn in the search to find them again.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18+. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.